why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, dealing with a big crisis here in the Coach household today. So if I seem like I'm a little bit worn out, it's because our dog Daisy's not doing. Daisy's sick, and she's getting sick, and she's leaving her mark around the house, if you know what I'm talking about. And it was got so bad last night that Michelle actually slept on the couch so that Daisy wouldn't come up and get in the bed. So I'm pondering today a $250 trip to the vet or a 10-cent bullet. What do you think? How many 10-cent bullet guys are there out there? Daisy's about 12 or 13. Been a good old dog. That's the crisis I'm dealing with. Boy, I'm going to get some emails from people now. I hear them coming. We treat our animals better than we treat our pets. I'm sorry, better than we treat our neighbors. Most people treat their pets better than they treat the people they go to church with. People know their pets better than their pastor. So I understand the love affair that we have with animals, but if we are in a crisis mode in the Dobenmeyer household, because Daisy is a little bit out of control. I put on my Hillary shirt today, Hillary for prison, still man with hope, still got a lot of hope that something good's going to happen. Chad sent me a video. I'm not going to get a chance to show it to you today because I got the show going in a different direction. But a pretty good video that the fire down there on I-85 in Atlanta probably was some type of terrorist attack or false flag attack or something going on, showing us again how vulnerable we are. What if they blew up? What if they blew up 100 bridges in 100 cities in America? Or what if they blew up 100 bridges in 50 cities? What if they blew up 2 bridges in 50 cities? What if they blew up 2 bridges in 20 cities in America? Strategically placed explosions that brought down bridges and main thoroughfares all across America. Every time we think that we got it all figured out, we ain't got it all figured out. Now, here's our concern. My concern is I'm not necessarily thinking it's ISIS or the Muslims. I think it's people with more nefarious actions. In fact, I was talking before we went on the air today, Syria gassing their people to death. There's all kinds of videos out there. And Donald Trump said yesterday that he's not going to put up with it. And he emphasized they're killing babies. He's killing babies. I'm thinking, somebody slap him. Hey, dude, we're killing babies every day. We're killing babies. Why are you so outraged about a born baby being gassed, but you're not upset about an unborn baby being disemboweled and pulled apart? Come on, man. I still have hope. But I think part of Trump's problem, part of the problem, we're going to talk about it again today, is he doesn't have anybody around him. Well, that's not safe to say. Steve Bannon, Jared Kushner, go ahead and rattle the names off. How many of them have the Holy Spirit? How many of them are filled with the Holy Spirit? And what we've spoken about over the last couple of days is that the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit will. Well, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, how are you going to be guided unto all truth? And I don't know anything about Jared Kushner. He's 34 years old. Looks like he might be running the government behind the scenes. And he's a Jew who doesn't know Jesus. He does not have the Holy Spirit. Mike Pence is swirling around there. Hopefully he's got the Holy Spirit. But can he over... Well, so that's where we are. I'm still on that Holy Spirit thing here today. I'm excited. I'm going to leave tonight. I'm going to be in Jackson, Kentucky tomorrow morning for... Kentucky Mountain Bible College. Did I get that right, Ty? Kentucky Mountain Bible College. I get to speak tomorrow at their chapel service. Dr. Andrew Street down there, a buddy of ours from OSA, invited me to speak. Opportunity to go down there and shake up and wake up those young future pastors down there. So I'm excited about that. And the good thing is about it is it's just going to be a one-day trip. Be back here in the saddle on Saturday. Cool. So, hey, listen, are you ready to dive in today? Anybody got anything pressing on their heart before I dive in? Because as usual, I'm stirring pretty good here today. And I'm stirring about the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. See, words mean things. Holy Ghost makes us think of somebody outside the body. Right? Holy Spirit is different. No, I believe in the Holy Ghost, but I believe the Holy Ghost has infilled me. Jesus said to Nicodemus that the Spirit's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but you see the effects of it. So if it's like the wind, that means he's the very breath. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the very breath of man. Breathe in, breathe out. It's a very existence, the Holy Spirit. But to many of us, he's a ghost. And ghosts hide. They come in and out. Casper, there's friendly ghost. Casper, the friendly ghost. And there's demonic ghosts. No, so it's a Holy Spirit. When you get born again, Jesus was very clear to Nicodemus that you must be born again, born from on high. He says, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit, marvel not that I say you must be born again. Being born again means that the Holy Spirit of God comes and touches you and exchanges your natural man's spirit for the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. It's not in your church. It's not in the praise and worship. It's not a Holy Ghost that's sitting outside the door, and when the music gets nice, and he says, oh, I'm going to go there. I like that music. And then he comes into the church. Saw an amazing thing today, guys. I don't know if you saw this, Rich, Sarge. Jeanette DuBose, you know Doug DuBose, Doug and Jeanette. Jeanette's fighting cancer again. She sent out an email to Mike Kerr, who forwarded it to me. She went to the doctor yesterday after coming back from Hear the Watchman, and what do you suppose? Yep. Clean bill of health. I mean, she's been fighting. It's been in her cancer. It's been in her belly. It's been in... And I don't know if you guys noticed this on Saturday, the night when we were working the altar, I got her working the altars, man. I said, you get down here and pray with us, Jeanette, because be it unto you according to your faith. And if you can believe others for healing, if you can believe God for healing others, then I believe that you can believe God for healing yourself. And I just rejoice with Doug and Jeanette today that the Spirit moved on them. Holy Spirit is in us. He dwells in our mortal body. Anybody want to add anything to that? Until we come to that realization, oh man, I got 1,000 things I want to talk about. Lord, put them together in the right order. Put them together in the right order. Hey, listen, Jared, get that video ready. I want to start with this. I've been having a conversation with George. George has a heart of an evangelist. Some of you other guys do too. Sarge, I know, is building a downline. A lot of you are working on building downlines. We talked yesterday, say, how do I chum? What can I do? Pardon me, I got a little candy in my mouth. How can I get guys? And I said, listen, you can't just send them an hour video and watch this guy. Because I get those videos. And when I get those hour videos, say, watch this guy, something's got to hook me. I got a lot of guys I can watch, right? I said, listen, you got a chum. You got to throw something out there that he'll bite on, all right? And then once you get him to bite on it, that's the chumming process. You send it to 15 people, and 2 respond. Well, now you've hooked one. And now you begin to work on those 2 that responded. But if you send out a mass email to 50 people, and they don't respond to you, why are you surprised? Hey, Jesus said, throw your net on the other side of the boat. In other words, stop doing what you've always done. Come on, man. Change things a little bit. So George yesterday found this video. Go to my website. Go to CoachDave.tv. CoachDave.tv. There are more videos there. Hundreds of videos. Short ones that are effective, I think. And George dug this one out yesterday. And George said, I'm going to use this one to chum with. This one's about a minute and 40 seconds or so. And here's what George said. Here's George's philosophy. I don't need to speak for George. He's there. He said, hey, George, go ahead and explain to him how you're going to use this real quickly.
Okay, Coach. Yeah, basically just really simple. Hang on. I'll just go into a text here real quick. I sent it to probably four people yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And let's see. Hang on just a second here. This is one of the guys I sent it to. I sent him that little video. I said, hi, Tom. Here's a video from my good friend, Coach Dave Dobemeyer. I just spent a weekend with him and some other guys at an event in Texas. We are looking for some guys who really want to impact the kingdom in a big way. Let me know if you want more information and we can talk.
Okay. And you sent that to him. Now, listen, here's the only thing I would change about that, George. Here's the only thing I would change. Your question to him does not demand a response. And so you should have framed it at the end. All that stuff you said was good. And then you should have said, Tom, I really respect you. I think a lot of you. Watch this and tell me what you think.
That's good.
Now you've forced a response from him. Okay?
Yeah, that's good.
Now, I'm not making fun of you because the Holy Spirit's going to work on him on the way that you sent it to him. But if you do that, guys, first of all, pump up their pride. Hey, I really think a lot of you, man. I think a lot of you. Look at this. Tell me what you think. Am I missing something here? That makes it safer. It's a safer environment. It's like you're reaching out to help him here, okay? So anyway, that's what George did. You sent it to four. Did you get a response yet, George?
I did from one of my guys, a guy named Phil. And he said, hey, I've been real busy, but man, I watched it and want to know more.
Okay, yep. Cool. So he hooked one, right? Yeah. Guys, you understand what we're talking about here? Okay, so this is just a minute and 40 seconds I filmed last year in Wichita, Kansas, okay? And you guys could all use something like this and shoot it out. We're talking about kingdom impact. We're not talking about following me, okay? Kingdom impact, to get these guys plugged in to where their lives will be radically transformed. That's what the Holy Spirit should do to a man. It should radically transform his life. If you are daily reading the scriptures and you are not being transformed, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And so if you really want to change the hearts of men, we got to get them plugged into the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm going to tell you the truth. He isn't in most churches. Holy Spirit isn't in most churches. Why isn't he in most churches? Because he lives inside men, and men don't have him inside them, and they don't take him to church with them. Go ahead, Raj. Was it you, Raj? Somebody tried to say something. No? Okay, go ahead and play this. Minute. So you get the picture? Minute 50 video. Send it to some of your people. Say, hey, man, came across this. I came across this the other day. You don't even have to say, George, I'm not criticizing you. I know you're not taking it to that. You don't have to say, this is my good friend, Coach Dave. Because, see, that even sends off, what? Just say, man, I came across this. I was doing some surfing on the internet. I came across this video. Look at this, man. Tell me what you think. Okay, go ahead and play it.
Hey, good morning, folks. Coach Dave here in Wichita, Kansas, out on the street lifting up the name of the Lord, doing everything we can to try to get people to stand up for Jesus. I got to tell you something, though. Breaks my heart. We become a nation of hollow men. Hollow men. We're men that seem to have nothing inside of us. Sometimes you run into a woman. Now, you're going to take this the wrong way, but I don't care. Sometimes we run into women that are full of vim and vinegar, and they get mad at you, and they flip you off. But then I see a lot of guys driving around in cars, and they're just hollow men. I'm going to tell you right now, until we get the men of God in America to get filled with the Spirit of God and some passion, and to stand up and care about the things that really matter, we're going to find this nation is going to drown in an emptiness that we can't even understand. That's why men are filling it with pornography. They're filling it up with football games and video games and Pokemon and all this foolishness. We're losing Western civilization. We're losing our children. We're losing our grandchildren. We're losing our nation. Oh, we're going to elect Donald Trump and he'll make America great again. No, no, no. No, no. America will never be great again until the men of God stand up and be counted. America will be great again when the men of God quit having hollow insides. We need men with chests. We're looking for some men with chests. America's become a nation led by men who are hollow, soulless, no direction, no passion, and no love of Christ. Come on, brothers, arise. Do something great for Jesus today. God bless you. See you next time.
So when I'm out speaking, have the opportunity to speak, I think that's effective, by the way. I spoke this weekend down in Dallas, and my wife would say to me, how did it go? Or somebody will say to me how it goes. And you know what I always say to them, Rich? I say, well, I don't know if they heard it, but they felt it. Huh? You get what I'm saying, guys? We have to touch people emotionally. We have to touch them. And you watch men, how crazy men act over freaking football games. How crazy they act over basketball games. How crazy. You watch how many men this weekend are going to sit down and are going to be in front of the TV all weekend watching the Masters golf tournament. You know why they're watching the Masters golf tournament? Not because they love golf, although they might. They love the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. They love watching men do extraordinary things in the face of extraordinary challenges. That's what draws a guy to watch it. Watch a golf. Golf is boring. Are you kidding me? Would you sit in front of your TV and watch somebody play golf if you didn't know who they were? If there wasn't any competition, would you just sit there and watch them? No. You're drawn by these great shots that they make under pressure. That's what the gospel ought to do. That's what the Holy Spirit ought to do to the heart of a man. It isn't. Why is it not? What are we missing? I look across America. I'm going to read in 2 Timothy. George, you can pull that up. Well, don't get ahead of myself here. I got to show you something. Are y'all with me, okay? Y'all with me? I'm going to show you something here. You serve the God you see. You serve the God you see. You serve the Holy Spirit you see. So you know me, man. Crazy dude here. I said, Lord, we don't even know who you are. We go to church every day. We don't even know who you are. We don't know what that Holy Spirit can do in us. We don't even know the Holy Spirit's in us. So something clicked. And I Googled, you ready, Jared? Pull up on our screen. I simply Googled this. Jared, it says images of Jesus. I Googled it. Googled it. Give me some pictures of Jesus. I'm not even going to say anything. Just look at these. Jared, just so slowly scroll. Stop right there. Pardon me. Does he look like a metrosexual to anybody but me? Look at him. Look at those pictures of him. You serve the God you see. Look at those. Boy, that'll draw a man, won't it? No wonder they sing, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. No wonder. No wonder. The God of love, 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 love. And I can take you to, you guys stay right there because I'm going to read something to you here. You stay right where you are. I want you to keep looking at those pictures, right? And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew, but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were with him in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh he has a tattoo that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, hey, Jared, go back up to the top of this page. Hey! Tyrell, stay right there, Jared. Think this guy's got any blisters on his hands? Any dirt under his fingernails? Is that the Jesus you serve? Could that be part of the problem? Now, hey, what was Jesus' profession? Before he became Son of God, what was his occupation? Carpenter, right? Carpenter. Hey, Jared, what if Jesus looked like this? Go ahead and pull that one up there. It's the next one. Click on that carpenter there, Jared. What if Jesus looked like that? Them big biceps. He ain't walking around carrying a little lamb with him. Doesn't have a cloak, a cloth cloak up. You guys understand that? You understand what I'm saying? You serve the God you see. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was all man. You understand that? And the Holy Spirit is all man. If you went and flash this up on the screen at your church, they'd yell blasphemy. Get that off of there. Get that off of there. And we're trying to hook men. And what are we hooking them with? Go back to that other page, Jared. There we are. Somebody certainly has something to say right now.
That is not the picture of him I have in my mind. So
look right there. Look at that thing right there. Look at that. Look at that. Holy. Can you see this guy going in there and flipping up tables, flipping over tables? I could see that last guy doing it. This guy? I bet you some woman painted this picture of Jesus. You serve the God you see, right? Okay, so let's go here real quickly. Jared, let's go to the cost of addiction, Jared. You don't have to pull that up there yet. Guys, do you have any idea how many hollow men there are walking the streets of America? Hollow men. Because they have no passion, they have no zeal, they have nothing in their life that they really are willing to die for. They root for the Buckeyes and the Cavaliers and the Cincinnati Reds and the Bengals, and they go watch cars drive fast, they go play golf, and they cuss, and they drink, and they smoke marijuana, and they drink alcohol. Because they're trying to find some deeper meaning in their lives. And they can't find it anywhere. And the one thing that we know that would cure whatever addiction it is that they have is the manly gospel of Jesus. Well, the gospel of the kingdom of God, but certainly the manly gospel, the idea that Christian testosterone is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to look like a man and act like a man, carry yourself like a man. It's a good thing. Rather than this sissified image that I just showed you 50 pictures of. We know the solution to our problems. We know them. We got pastors standing in the pulpits regularly looking at porn. They tell us it's 50%. It's higher than that. Come on, man. Who doesn't struggle with that? Well, at what point we're going to get victory over it? See, lust is a spirit. Lust is a spirit. Spirit of lust. And this doesn't have to be women. It's this idea to feed the flesh. It's a spirit. Spirit of lust, spirit of addiction. And so you fall into the point where you look at porn, you smoke pot. Look at how many people are dedicating their lives to trying to get pot legalized. What? Are you kidding me? Why? Because they're filling it with whatever. But here's what I want you to see. Look at the cost of addiction. Hey, Rich, if we know that there's nothing that will change a man's heart more than the gospel of Jesus, why doesn't our government promote that? Oh, wait a minute. Because our churches don't. The churches don't. Listen, our churches, they do not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, they don't believe in it. Okay, here we go. Cost of addiction, economical and health costs. It's estimated that yearly, the economic impact of substance misuse is, look at this, $249 billion for alcohol alone, $193 billion for illicit drugs. This includes costs related to crime, work productivity, and health care. Excessive drinking is estimated to cost $223.5 billion. I walked into the gas station yesterday, then there was a lady in front of me. As soon as I walked in, I looked at her, and she was attractive enough. But there was something about her that was hard. I couldn't figure out what it was as I walked back to get me a Gatorade. When I came back, got my Gatorade, and I came back, she had a 12-pack of Miller, 4 packages of cigarettes, and 10 lottery tickets. And I'm walking out of there thinking, my golly, how much did that woman just spend on sin? Health costs contributed to the abuse of prescription painkillers is $25 billion. This is 2007. Addiction is a serious driver of health care costs, with estimates for all substances estimated at $216 billion. That's 2006! Health costs, health-related, blah, 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 blah. At what point do we, the taxpayer, say, listen, I'm not going to pay for someone else's self-inflicted sin anymore. I'm not going to pay for it. And if the government knows that there's a cure, why won't they give the cure? Why won't they do it? There's no all the people sitting in this queue, there's nothing that radically transformed, I'm talking about me, nothing that radically transformed my life more than than Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody with me? Why aren't do the churches believe this or do they not believe this? But see, the churches believe the Holy Spirit is something that just shows up for church services. They don't think it's something that does its work out on the streets. They don't think it's something that can change the heart of a man. They don't think it's something that we can take to them rather than asking them to come and visit and get it. And in most churches that they walk into, there ain't no Holy Spirit in there anyway. So there's no life-changing power of the gospel inside most churches. What would be the financial consequences if we took the truth of the gospel to these people? It's a long pause. Somebody jump in. No?
Hey, coach.
Yep. There you are, Jared. There he is. That guy will help you. Come sit on his lap. He'll help you. Go ahead, George.
Hey, I'm speaking from personal experience, but I can tell you for years I sat in churches and didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit because I didn't understand it. It's exactly what you're saying. And in my life, that's the only thing that transformed me was when I understood that I had power to conquer sin each and every day, each
Amen.
And every moment.
Amen. See, Sarge put over here, he knows people are traveling 50 miles to go see The Shack, the feel-good movie, The Shack. See, it's not that people aren't hungry. Here's the problem. They're hungry, and they know they're lost. But they don't think that sissy little guy that we put up there as representation of Jesus can help them. They don't think he can help them. So they turn to Bud Light. They turn to pot. They turned to Debbie Does Dallas because there's a great void inside their heart. If you permit a man to live with his passions unchecked, you're going to end up with pedophilia and everything. I'm in 2 Timothy, Jared. I said to Rich before I went on, I'm going to try to read a lot of scripture today because I think it's important, Rod. You got your pen ready? And I'm not going to try to comment a whole lot on it, but I want to try to paint you a picture here. Paul writing this letter to Timothy. And we quote Timothy a lot, but I believe we quote Timothy, we pull Timothy out of context. And I think if there were no chapters, no chapter divisions, no chapter one, no chapter two, if it was just a letter, this is a letter Paul wrote to Timothy. If we were just reading the letter, I think we would get a different understanding of what Paul's telling us. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that Paul, although a lot of people like to go to Timothy where he talks, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for lovers, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Yeah. We look at Timothy as a end times picture, in the last days. But first of all, understand this, the disciples, they thought they were living in the last days. They expected Jesus to return at any time. But this is not what this is about. Paul's explaining to Timothy the nature of man. Okay? Let's dive into this here a second. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1 of Timothy. And this is good, and it's a bit lengthy. Not that bad. I want to read it to you, though, okay? Make sure I'm in the right place. Oh, yeah. No wonder it wasn't making sense to me. I was on 1 Timothy. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. They are rich. You're a faithful man, Rich. And it's my obligation when I share the gospel to commit it to faithful men, not just anybody. Commit to faithful men who shall be able to reach others also. There's your downline, George. Teach faithful men who are going to reach others. You, therefore, endure hardness. Wow. Think of those pictures we just looked at of Jesus. Think of those pictures. And he said, buddy, you better suck it up. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that it worth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Huh? And if a man also strives for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. A husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. He said, if you're going to give it to others, you better have eaten it yourself first. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember now, we're talking about the nature of man, not the end times. Remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble. Look at that, Rich. In his gospel, he suffers trouble. Wherein my gospel, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But they can't bind the word of God. It's not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, if we deny him, he also will deny us. And if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Why can't he deny himself? Because he is the truth. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. He said, when you're preaching the word, you're trying to convict these people. You're trying to bring them. But to the subverting of their, verse 15. So, Rich, study yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. And Roger, but shun profane and vain babblings. For they're going to increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth they've erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. Hey, you don't know everybody, does he, Ty? You don't know everybody, but he sure knows those that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from sin. You preaching that in the church? Nope. They're preaching that he forgives your sin. But in a great house, in a big church, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and ready for the master to use and prepared unto every good work. And by the way, Jared, flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing them so, those that oppose themselves of God peradventure will give them repentance of the knowledge and of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil of taking captive Adam of him by his will. Okay, he's laying out man and the nature of man. Are you with me? He's not talking about end times here. Not talking about that. Next chapter, Jared. Chapter 3. And then he says, okay, because of this, because of the stuff we just talked about, also know that in the last days, it's going to get worse. Perilous times are going to come. He is not talking about the last days. He's talking about how men are going to be degenerates. It's going to get worse as men degenerate. Without the Holy Spirit, they're going to get worse. Why? It's very simple, because men are going to be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to the parents and unthankful and holy and without natural affection and truth breakers and false accusers and incontinent and fierce and despisers of those that are good, traitors and heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now hang on. He's not saying these are signs of the end times. He's saying this is how men are going to behave. This is the nature of man. This is how you're going to know. This is how you're going to see the flesh. This is how you're going to understand. It's not an end time gospel. It's a nature of man gospel. Oh my goodness. For this is a sword of which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And they're ever learning and they're never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also resist the truth. He said people are going to resist the truth. They always have. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest or obvious unto all men, as theirs also was. But you've fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But not all of them, the Lord delivered me. Yeah, Rich, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus, you got some trouble ahead of you, buddy. But evil men, seducers, now, they're going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, continue in the things which you've learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. See, you're not addicted anymore. You used to be addicted, now you're not addicted. You became wise. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. See, it's not for blessings. It's not for increasing your financial gain. It's not for joy. It's not for happiness. It's given for what? Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect though furnished unto all good works. I'm not done yet. You got the picture? He's explaining the nature of man. He's not talking about the end times. This applies right here today. If we didn't even know anything else, just look at government. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. It's unrestrained by the Holy Spirit. And so we're dumb and we say, well, that's the sign of the times. That's the end times right there, Coach. No, it's the nature of man, unrestrained by the Holy Spirit. So in verse 4, we get a solution. Are you following me? Is this making sense, Roger? Is this making sense? He says, okay, because of that then, verse 4, chapter 4, I'm going to give you a job, Sarge. I charge you, Sarge, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Hey, Sarge, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But you watch, in all things rich, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Hey, he says, if I'm done, man, I'm not ready to be offered. Time my departure, I'm out of here. But I want you to know this, baby. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I protected the faith. Because of that, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all that also love his appearing. So he spells out for us the nature of man. And here's what's going to happen. And Jesus came to counter that. And because he came to counter that, you're now a soldier of the cross and you're required to go do this. Go preach the gospel. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But understand this, when you go out, that they're turning their mind away from the truth. And see, here's what we've done in our churches. We have catered the word to their lost minds. We haven't called them. We haven't reproved. We haven't rebuked, and we haven't exhorted. We might have exhorted in that we tell them, well, you know, just turn to Jesus, and he'll be a friend that stick his closer than a brother, and you can make it. You hang in there. God's faithful, and he won't give you more than you can handle. That's exhort. That's all we do. We don't reprove, and reprove, rebuke. We don't do those. It's our job to do those. But if you do those, people say you're mean. Hey, Jared, throw Jesus back up there for me. I want to sit on his lap. Can you put that picture of him back up on that screen for us? Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, door's open.
Dave, you know, it's literally heartbreaking that a man can read that and then write a book, Your Best Life Now, and lead 100,000 people away from the truth. I mean, it's heartbreaking.
Yep. See, Rich, but you can find that message in the Bible, can't you, of having your best life? You can find that encouraging message in there, but it's taken out of context. That's not the real message, see? But remember, the scripture says that we would reach a day when the people have itching ears, and so they go out and find somebody who will scratch it for them. That's why we're in the mess that we're in.
Dave?
Yep.
Well, I don't mind periodically a message of whatever he teaches, your best life now or whatever, because I do believe there's encouragement in God's word and so forth. But once again, the problem is we hear nothing of the full gospel, okay? We hear nothing of what we're describing here this morning. There is no reproving. There is no rebuking. You know, you have a a lesbian in your congregation and it takes you a year and a half to get her out when she's running around being involved in everything, when it should take one Sunday when you find out to take care of that matter.
That's right.
So, you know, that's the problem I have. There is no wrath of God ever taught. There's only the love of Jesus.
Hey, Jared,
no
put
balance,
Jesus,
no truth. And thus, you're lying to the people.
You're lying to the people. There he is. There's Jesus. That's it. Sitting around on the park bench with a little kid. That's what he spent all of his time doing. Oh, there we go. Let's see. Let's find another. Hey, I can tell right now I'm making some of those religious spirits really mad out there. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't care. Look at that guy there. Look at him. Now, you say, Coach, you're mocking the Lord. No, I'm not. Somebody drew that picture. Doesn't he know him? They drew that picture out of their own image of who Jesus is. Wonder where they learned that that's what Jesus looked like. In fact, if we looked at Scripture, if we read in Isaiah, I'm not sure exactly where it is, so there's nothing pleasant of him about him to look at. It wasn't anything pleasant. He must have had a big old honker and no teeth. That's probably, see, if Jesus had come with the charisma and the smile of Joel Osteen, maybe the religious leaders would have, maybe they'd have bought it. But he didn't come like that. He came looking like me. Marks on his face, his teeth knocked out, scrapes, broken, crooked nose. I don't know, I'm guessing. But it said there was nothing about him that was pleasant to look at. He didn't woo them with his looks. He didn't wow them with the way he dressed. And look at these. Give me another one of those pictures, Jared.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
But, hey, seriously, since we're the bride of Christ, I mean, that picture he had of kind of a somewhat masculine face but a feminine body, so that might fit.
George, now you're creeping into it again. And so what we have done, oh, Lord, do I say that? I'm not going to say it. The image of Jesus that we have, the image of him as a man, as a bridegroom, as some skinny jeaned preacher. That's the image. Somebody else finish. I'm going to finish up here.
You're back on?
Somebody send me a message here. If somebody's mic's open, go for it. Or are you stunned? I guess you're stunned. That's okay. Doesn't
hey,
matter.
Coach.
Yes.
Coach.
Yes. Well,
based on that reading in Timothy, if you're in your walk as a Christian, you must assume you will be persecuted. And if you're talking to somebody and they say, oh, my life is great, I love what's going on in my life, then the rebuke ought to be, well, then you ain't walking the walk you need to walk.
Something wrong here. At least we're not walking the walk that Paul walked, are we? We're certainly not walking his walk. And didn't Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ? I think he did. Follow me as I follow Christ. Got him killed. You and the guys have any idea the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you understand the manliness of the Spirit of God? Hey, Rich, you're a little bit more in construction than me. When's the last homo carpenter you ran into? Now, they may be out there. I'll probably hear from some of them. When's the last one you heard of? Got old Glenn calling in here. Glenn, you're on the air with the Coach.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, you see the power of the Holy Spirit work. If you just step out, my little 5-foot wife and I, we go out into the neighborhood monthly, okay? And we knock on doors. We have a survey that we do. And it leads, it, the survey talks about the culture as it exists today, with all the false flags and the terrorism. And then what it does is it leads into scripture. And then in the end, okay, I ask the person, and my wife stands there and prays during this whole time, and I'll ask the person if they want to, you know, if this prayer expresses the desire of their heart, will they pray it? And I read the prayer. I've had situations, you know, and my wife and I look at each other and we think, we're nothing. We're like newspaper, we're delivery people. We'll pray the prayer, and I've had guys that look like sumo wrestlers answer the door and say, what do you want? And by the time I'm done, they're praying the prayer, and tears are coming down their eyes.
Wow.
I'm telling you, that's, all you have to do is open your mouth and speak. And speak God's word. God's word will do the rest. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is, and it blows me away every time I do it.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even to the soul and the marrow, right? I mean, come on, man.
Even at the Watson's conference, there was this young university student that Josh and I prayed for. We led him to, you know, he had gotten away from Christ, but he felt so convicted by the Holy Spirit, by what he heard, he came up and asked us to pray for him because he had gone back into the world, and he had tears coming down his eyes. We, you know, Josh and I prayed for that guy, and he was just so, you know, he thanked us. And you know, you have to be sensitive enough and be ready. There are people all around you that have turmoil in their life, but they don't talk about it because they're too embarrassed. They just put a smile on their face like everything is fine. But you have to be sensitive enough. The Holy Spirit will prompt you when to talk to somebody.
Amen, Glenn. Amen. Bless you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Amen. So listen, why did people by the millions flock to see the Incredible Hulk? Why did they flock by the millions to see Jesse the Body Ventura? Why do men pay good money and go sit at the Daytona 500 and watch those cars drive past them in 6 seconds? It's about shoo, shoo. And why do we have such a hard time getting them in church to sit on Jesus' lap? We're not going to draw men because you serve the God you see. Look at that picture up on your screen right now. Look at that. Who drew that? I wish I was an artist. I'd draw a picture of Jesus with moles on his face and a crooked nose and great big biceps. Rather than this one. See, here's listen. I hear
you. A preschool director drew it.
A pastor somewhere, right? See, I hear them right now saying, well, coach, you're getting into the flesh. No, I'm not. But you better hear me about this. Those with flesh eyes only see flesh. You understand what I'm telling you? And I can tell you right now that picture of Jesus is going to have a hard time drawing a man. You agree that, Rich? And that's what most men think of when they see Jesus. Rather than the great and powerful Wizard of Oz Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. That's what they see right there. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The great and powerful Oz has spoken. The Holy Spirit's that great and powerful Oz. But we don't believe it. We don't market it that way. We go to a guy and say, why do I need Jesus, man? I got all the women I need. I got all the dope I need. I got all the heroin I need. I got everything I need. Why do I need that dude? Because Jesus loves you, brother. Well, so is he. He loves him too. Well, we got some work to do, don't we, guys? We got some work to do. For sure we do, we do. I got time to play one little video here. Jared, I think you guys wouldn't have believed this. I dropped my computer, my other computer. It just went off on me, I think. Ah, there it's back. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Jared, hate to keep doing videos of me, but it's another good one. It's called Preach the Gospel. I think that's what it's called. First one, Jared. Go ahead and play this. It's about 5 minutes. I hear this all the time. I hear this from people all the time. It's 6 minutes. Jared, go ahead.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithviews.tv at newswithviews.com. And I'm a little hot under the collar today. So if my hat starts to swell up a little bit, you'll understand what's going on. Thanks for joining us, by the way. Had a situation happen this week where, you know, I'm a pretty opinionated guy. Probably if you watch these videos, you've picked up on that. And somebody took offense to one of the videos that I did the other day, and they sent me an email, which this isn't the first time that I've got an email like this or a phone call like this or when I was on the radio, callers to my show. And they would say something like this, Coach, hey, Coach, quit worrying so much about abortion and quit worrying so much about homosexuality. Quit worrying about all that, Coach. Just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. So I said, okay, that's cool, pal, but tell me something. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Is the gospel, what is it? I'm a sinner, born into sin, need a savior. Jesus died on a cross. His blood cleansed me from the sin. He rose on the third day. He now sits with the Father in heaven, and soon he's going to come again. Is that it? Is that the gospel? Hey, listen, I got that already. I got that. I'm on, that's page one. I'm on page six. I got that already. What is the gospel? You say, just preach the gospel, Coach. I'm asking you, what is the gospel? Well, the Apostle Paul talks to us about the full counsel of God. The book of Jude tells us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. What is the gospel? When they say to me, Coach, just preach the gospel. I ask that question. I'm asking you. What is the gospel? Well, the full counsel of God would tell me this. First of all, Jesus said in 1 John 3:8 that for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? It's all around us, isn't it? Sin, disobedience, isn't it all around us? And for this purpose was Jesus manifest that he would destroy the works of the devil, destroy sin? Where? In the world? Yeah. In you? Yeah. Destroy sin. Isn't that the gospel? Isn't part of the gospel telling people that Jesus came and died on a cross so that you could live a different way here and now? Or is it just about salvation? Is it just about the gospel of dying? Jesus died for your sins and someday you're going to go to heaven. And so here, walk an aisle, say a prayer and get saved and then sit on your butt in church for 50 years. And then when you die, then you go to heaven. Is that the gospel? No, it's more than that. It's the full counsel of God. Now, remember, I was having a discussion with a guy about pornography and what a scourge pornography is. And he said, well, Coach, there you go. Just preach the gospel. Now, listen, the gospel will get the individual saved, but the gospel is much bigger than just the individual. So I said to this guy, listen, if the church rose up and the church made pornography illegal, which, by the way, it used to be. In my lifetime, pornography was illegal. Now it comes into your house, right into your internet, right over the TV. It used to be illegal. If pornography was made illegal again, I wonder if there would be some young girl in your town who would not be molested by her stepfather. Is pornography leading to sin which hurts innocent people? Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the gospel? Is going and getting abortion once again illegal to where unborn babies are allowed to live, and not only are unborn babies allowed to live, but mothers are no longer burdened by a horrible decision that they made, and instead of us trying 20 years later to repair the damage that was done, wouldn't the Gospels do this? Wouldn't the Gospels say, stop that, eliminate that, that destroys people's lives? Isn't that the Gospel? Preach the Gospel, Coach. Just preach the Gospel.
One of the things that makes me sick is those who scream loudest about preaching the gospel do it the least. Those who scream about getting people saved are sometimes the worst at sharing the gospel. Yeah. What is the gospel? The gospel is that entire full counsel of God. Everything included in that black, dusty book that you've got sitting on your nightstand. And if we were to follow the book and the precepts of that book, America would be in a lot better shape than we are right now, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for the great by and by in the sky. The gospel of Jesus Christ is applicable and important right now, right where we live. Preach the gospel. This is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer at newswithyous.com. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.